Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here as always.
What's up, everyone?
And Mr. A is back in town, hanging out with us. And
what's up, Mr. A?
How's it going, dude?
Oh man, it's great to be back here on Two Bros, One Flick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting in some of that college football action.
Yeah, yeah man, the Aggies put a good fight up against the LSU Tigers today. Just couldn't cut it, though. Mm.
That's yeah. All. I mean, that was the most, I think those are the most, that's the most picks he's had in any game. And I think that's the most picks he's had.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. With respect to all the prior games combined, even, right?
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of, interceptions and a lot of forced plays. And, you know, you got to make those field goals, make everything count when you got the opportunity. But, you know, I think we gave him a good run for their money. And, you know, maybe we'll be improved next year.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, I mean, for sure you guys are going to be improved. 21-19, that's, right? It was 21-19, I think.
24-19.
24-19, yeah. That's pretty close. I mean, first time.
The kid's going to be a monster next year.
Yeah, he's going to be awesome.
As long as he stays healthy, you guys are going to be great.
Yeah.
Well, one can only hope, right?
Yeah.
Great coach, too. You guys have a great coach.
Yeah.
Unlike us.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you go, you got to stop at your peak, man. 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Does Texas play today?
Yes. Baylor at 7 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's at home.
Yeah, but so. They're saying that we're not going to do so hot because we're missing a lot
Manny
of our
Diaz
starters.
Manny Diaz is still there.
We're starting a lot. We're losing a lot of our starters, too.
I'd fake an injury not to join up again. Yeah. Anyway, on to happier things.
Impressive.
Yeah. We are going to review this year's Argo. Mr. A, you saw this movie first, so I think it's only natural that you would kind of give us the rundown of the flick synopsis and who directed it and kind of the stars in it.
Yeah.
All right. Please do that. Well, Argo is directed by Ben Affleck. This is his third feature. He had previously done Gone Baby Gone and The Town, which had a lot of critical acclaim. Both movies actually did. So this is his third time out. And, you know, watching Ben Affleck as a director, he continually impresses me just because he's showing a mastery of the medium. But what Argo is about, this takes place during the 1979 Tehran hostage crisis that confronted the Carter administration.
Yes.
And if we remember from our high school history class, basically, that was on the heels after the Shah of Iran had been overthrown.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Ayatollah Khomeini had come back to Iran to rule, and a period of radical Islam was spurred in Iran.
Yes.
And the U.S. embassy was overrun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, as we remember, that's what did in the Carter administration and led to the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980. But the movie focuses on six American diplomats who were able to escape.
Yes.
And they were all held by the Canadian ambassador. And the Canadian ambassador and the CIA and the State Department were all trying to figure out ways how to get these six individuals out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after
silly ideas involved.
Many silly ideas. Many silly ideas. The CIA hatched a plot to basically work with the Canadian government, have these six Americans pose as a Canadian film crew, and then fly them out of Tehran International Airport. And this is all based on a true story. The guy that was actually involved was a guy by the name of Tony Mendez, and I believe Ben Affleck's character says
Affleck
that that's his
that
name. And it was a great cast. It's got Ben Affleck and Bryan Cranston playing Ben Affleck's boss,
who is awesome and has a couple of Breaking Bad fear scenes. Right?
Yes,
he
does.
He gets to be scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess Kyle Chandler, who plays Chief of Staff Hamilton Jordan. You might have seen him if you would watch Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
He was also in Super 8. That's the movie that I think he was most recently in.
Saw Super 8.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams did that one, right?
Yeah.
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 He was also in that King short-lived TV series. What was it? Where he got the newspaper the day. You guys remember what I'm talking about?
No.
He got the newspaper the day before terrible things happened.
Oh.
So he would read
Early Edition.
Early Edition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on Early Edition. That was his first big deal.
Really cheesy.
Yeah. How many seasons was that? Like 1.5?
It ran from 1996 to 2000, so like four seasons, I guess.
Yeah. Well, good for that guy. Yeah.
I don't even remember what that was.
Great job, bro. Was that on ABC? I think that was on ABC, right?
I have no idea.
I think it was on ABC.
Okay.
Whatever. Anyway, yeah.
A lot of cast members in here.
Yeah. John Goodman and Alan Arkin play like awesome Hollywood types for kind of like a short role.
That's right. That one thing I failed to mention about the plot is that, there was this big interplay between Tony Mendez and some friends of his out in Hollywood. John Goodman plays John Chambers,
yeah.
Who is a very who is an Academy Award winning makeup artist.
Yeah, and in real life is
in real life. And so he teamed up with this guy, and you know they put the entire front up there. You know they had press releases, they had read throughs, and they made it actually look like a real,
very believable.
Yeah, they founded a fake production company, and you know went through the entire deal. And you know as I was reading about this movie. It came to light that Steven Spielberg had actually sent a couple of scripts in to this fake movie company.
Oh, that's awesome.
And probably some of them, I guess, were big hits, you know.
That's awesome.
That's, I guess, when Spielberg had his game, really, you know, back in the early 80s. But, so this is a really big deal. And obviously because it was a CIA operation, it was a successful operation, they couldn't make a movie about it or talk about it until all that stuff was declassified.
Yes.
And so, hence... why the movie came out.
Because I guess until it's declassified, you kind of get a sense of it at the end, but they just made it seem as though the Canadians had kind of planned this whole thing out.
Yeah.
Which is what they were trying to portray themselves as. So good job, CIA, at making yourself sound like Canada.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was a really cool deal, too.
Yeah, that was...
Especially the last, like, 10 minutes. I thought it was a cool wrap-up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was just a well-done movie all the way around. And
yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I haven't seen Gone Baby Gone or The Town.
Yeah, I haven't either. But I kind of want to.
Have
just
you seen either one of those?
Yeah, I've seen pieces of Gone Baby Gone.
Uh-huh.
That has Casey Affleck in it, and that's based off of Dennis
Casey
Lehane.
Affleck is awesome.
Yeah. but that's based off of a Dennis Lehane novel. So it's your typical, you know, detective, sordid mystery thriller type of thing. And then The Town had... Ben Affleck was in that, along with Jeremy Renner and Pete Postlethwaite. And it's basically, you know, this gangster's coming back to his old old stomping grounds of South Boston, and he's trying to live a normal life and try to cut his ties from the Irish mob.
Gotcha. Cool. And between, I guess, Argo and The Town, would you say that Argo is just... a better movie, or is it apples and oranges?
I think it's kind of apples and oranges.
Okay.
Because I think both The Town and Argo had really strong stories and really strong performances.
Okay.
And so it would be hard to compare. But one of the things that does impress me about Argo over The Town is that, you know, you look at the fact that this movie is supposed to take place in the late 1970s, and a lot of the attention to detail is all there. I mean,
it was
clothes,
awesome. Even the film grain.
Yeah. Everything about the film.
And when the movie starts, it actually starts with
the old Warner Brothers.
Yeah, the very old late 70s, early 80s Warner Brothers rolling tape. Yeah.
I guess, well, thank you, Mr. A, for that in-depth synopsis.
Yeah, that was great.
That was good. That was solid. And we'll get into the recommendation thing later. I was gonna just I was gonna ask Mr. A something about it, but I guess Sam, we'll start off with you and talk about things you really liked in general. And this movie has many favorite scenes, I'm sure. So I think we should get scene specific on this one.
Okay, so I think what I liked overall a lot is that it's just directed very, very well, which is surprising to me because I mean not because. You know, Ben Affleck has seen kind of like a chucklehead before.
Yeah.
And then he started directing movies. I never saw, you know, Gone Baby Gone or The Town.
Right.
Not because I didn't like Ben Affleck, just because, you know, I didn't get around to it. But, yeah, I was very impressed. And I know it's his third time out, but that's still, like, it's a really ambitious project for a third time out. Like,
for sure.
I can think of a lot of contemporary directors who, you know, they make solid movies, but they kind of have like the same kind of narrative. I don't know if The Town or Gone Baby Gone are like that, but Argo seemed to cover just a lot of different types of themes and moods, and it handled them all very well and paced them together in a very cohesive manner in which you were like, you know, nothing seemed out of place. Everything kind of flowed very, very well.
Yeah.
Especially because, I mean, right when you get as Mr. A kind of gave you the history of what's going on in the movie itself does that at the very beginning. It gives you like a kind of short, brief, hey, this is where we are and this is where we're going.
Yeah.
And it's kind of serious. And then it takes like kind of like a like jocular mood when it gets back to the United States, and you have like the CIA bickering about how they're going to deal with this.
For
and
sure.
then when he goes to LA and hangs out with the producers, it's kind of lighthearted, but like, you know, that's they're trying to get something serious done.
Yeah.
And then like the last probably half of the movie is all kind of like serious with kind of like moments of humor or, you know, intimacy, you know, that are thrown around that kind of help it instead of it seeming like jarring or kind of like off put, it all mm-hmm. flows really, really well. So I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm,
I thought he did a great job. Like just the storytelling, like the way it's driven is very, very cohesive. Like he planned everything out and it came to fruition.
Yeah.
It was like just excellent execution. My favorite scene is probably the one where Bryan Cranston is yelling at I guess his superior to go get like tickets for the it's kind of toward the end
tickets.
The
yeah.
airplane tickets. He yells at him, and I like that a lot because it reminds me of Walter White.
do your fucking job.
Yeah, do your fucking job. Yeah,
yeah, that was solid.
So I just really like that scene.
Nice.
But what about you, Mr. A? What'd you like, and what was your favorite scene?
Well, to kind of echo what you said, Sam. You know that. Those shades of seriousness and hilarity, you know, I just thought that was so well done because you got this really intense situation that, you know, is playing out in Iran.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's harder for us to understand it in the same way. Cause like now whenever there's a contempt, like if there's something happens in the Middle East and we have to intervene, it's like, there's like a set plan for it.
Yeah.
But because there was so few means of communication and just like other stuff happening that you would be able to like understand, like this was literally like we're gonna go to war with Iran time,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
in the late 70s, and like yeah, like you said, he does a really good job handling both the seriousness of the situation while keeping it colloquial, kind of like easy to understand for the audience.
Yeah, and you mean that, you know, that juxtaposition between what's going on in Iran and then this ridiculous plot that the CIA is trying to set up through Hollywood. That to me was great. And I think maybe like a quarter of the way through the movie, you know, when they're trying to get the production company started and trying to get all the advertising material put together. You know, he shows what's going on in Iran, what those characters are going through, and then it cuts back to what's going on in L.A.
Press conferences. They both have, like, press conferences, and they're kind of, like, woven in between one another, and, like, it gives you kind of a, like, a complete 360 image of what's happening, you know?
Right, yeah, exactly. And, you know, to me, the other thing that was very interesting about that, you know, obviously on one side of the coin, these are very, very serious issues, and, you know, people are going to die. Whereas on the other side of the coin, you know, you show these press conference going on in L.A., and I think in a way, you know, Affleck is trying to skewer Hollywood in a sense because, you know, a lot of people in Hollywood take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They think that they're the end-all be-all when, in fact, they are not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that press conference is basically a joke.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's
but
it's,
everyone involved, except for the CIA, they just think it's big deal.
Yeah,
it's important for the CIA and it's important for the people in Iran. So.
Yeah, so that was one scene that stuck out in my mind. The other one, I just thought probably the last 15 or 10 minutes or so, you know, where the CIA is trying to get President Carter's authorization to issue the tickets.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out how to do that while at the same time they're stuck there at the ticket counter, and eventually they get stuck there at that last checkpoint.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just really engrossed by that. And I'm sure some of that was played up, but I still thought it was...
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, that was executed really well. It didn't feel like heavy-handed or goofy.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was awesome. Yeah.
Nice.
What about you?
This was a good movie. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
The things I liked about it the most... I thought in general the dialogue was pretty good.
Okay.
I liked I liked hearing kind of like the wisecracks, even though it's like, because it was wisecracks, but it's also kind of had teeth to it in the fact that everyone is so like It's so intense.
Yeah.
Especially when the shit hits the fan for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's just trying to keep their cool, but the tension is so high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a sense of helplessness because this is like, well, you know, they've overrun the embassy. This is unheard of before. You know, I thought the dialogue was great and very funny at times.
Yeah.
And very, very sad at times,
Shouldn't enough bricks to build the pyramids?
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
I love that. That was a great line.
Yeah. You know, and then just the part where... where things aren't going so great the night before they actually make their escape, and the Canadian Canadian counselor is like the ambassador, you know, is like, it was a fucked anyway. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. it's just like stuff like that. It just, it can get you in the gut. And I really enjoyed the flow of the movie was pretty solid.
Very,
I thought
a very serious Victor Garber playing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. From Alias.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was well done. As far as my favorite scene, after the intro of like the brief history lesson of if you had no idea what happened in the Middle East at that time,
yeah,
you know, which was mm-hmm. a very interesting way to do it, I thought. Which I don't know. I didn't think it was a bad thing the way they did it, but at the same time, I thought it was a little strange because they could have done something a little more conventional, like how they closed it out in the end. Like shots and text,
yeah.
as opposed to comic book and, you know, voiceover. But I don't
think that. Yeah, I think, they're supposed to be storyboards.
Yeah, I got that.
I think, like, if you didn't expect to see storyboards later, it would, or, like, you're not familiar with how storyboards mm-hmm. work in, like, the movie, comic, film industry.
Like, that was fine.
Yeah, it was, I could see that.
But then I liked the, basically, the, is how long is the first scene of them storming?
I think that probably went on for about
20 minutes, 15?
No, it's not 20 minutes.
I think about 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean?
Storming the embassy.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you meant before you. Okay.
Anyway, so that 5-6 minute scene at the beginning mm-hmm. where basically they're seeing the oncoming storm, this angry mob.
Yeah.
And their hands are tied. And I was, you know, you're watching it, and you just want to tell the guy who's head of the Marines to be like, just shoot him, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, is a bad thing to say or to think because it was really freaky.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can only use tear gas as a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, we're just going to let him storm, and then it's gonna happen. And just the whole shot of that place just being swarmed by an angry mob was just very...
really believable.
It was gut-wrenching and believable, and I was freaked out for the people in there, especially the lady with the glasses when she's on the phone. And she's they're in, right? Hangs up the phone. You just see one of the guys just take off her glasses and
blindfold her
with the white band.
Yeah.
And you just, oh my gosh. I thought that scene was great. Sets up the movie perfectly. I don't know how else you would do it, but it was done in a way that was, I don't know. I think it was a pretty accurate depiction of what could have happened mm-hmm. if one was there.
And it handled it with seriousness.
Yeah.
Like, and it didn't seem like really forced. It was just kind of like, hey, this is what's mm-hmm. happening. We kind of have to, like, we have to give up basically.
Yeah. It had kind of like a, it had kind of almost like a, you are there documentary style to it.
Yeah, for sure. I thought that's my favorite scene.
Yeah.
And that, you know, everything else was just like icing on the cake because that was, you're already hit basically with a sledgehammer.
Yes.
Right. And you just have to deal with it. It makes you want to, it almost made you want to solve the problem with throughout the rest of the movie. You're going along. It's like, I just saw what happened. Let's fix it type of deal.
Yeah.
I really like that. This one's going to be a hard one to do things you didn't like, but it's probably going to be nitpicky. So I'll let you go first, Sam.
I guess the thing, mine is pretty nitpicky. There's just a couple of characters I kind of wish you got to know a little bit more. Like the six individuals, right? Six, right?
Yeah, the six.
Yeah, yeah. The six individuals that Mr. Mendez is going to save. I kind of wish you had a little bit more time with them. And it seemed like it mostly focused on the two couples, and you don't really get to know the gentleman who was supposed to be like the producer guy.
Yeah, the guy that was the supposed ringleader of the group.
Yeah, yeah.
The director.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant. The director guy, and there was. Yeah, there are two guys that I just wish you kind of got to know more. I kind of wish you got to know the couples a little bit more, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it handled that well. That was I just wish you got to know them more. Maybe get to know the British dude who's in it just for a short amount of time, who's like really wise-assy in the Hagia Sophia. I think that's the Hagia Sophia.
In Turkey. Yeah,
in Turkey. Like when they go into
that guy
the
was
Hagia
hilarious.
Sophia. Yeah, the British guy was like really wisecracky, and I kind of wish you got like a little bit more of him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was really the only thing I kind of disliked, in the sense that I wish I had gotten to know those characters more.
Right.
But What about you, Mr. A?
Yeah, I think also I like this movie a lot, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised come Oscar time it gets a couple of nominations, and so it's hard to find things that you can pick on. But I guess the one thing that I would criticize was kind of the ending.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, because you got this scene of Ben Affleck coming back to visit his ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they're divorced or anything.
I think they were separated.
I think they just, like, lived apart, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but that seemed a little forced.
Yeah.
And then toward the ending, it seemed like the movie ends, and then they kind of go into this history lesson again with President Carter sitting in and giving a voiceover of what happened. You know, so it didn't seem like there was any finality, where you would expect it to be.
I read that very last part was kind of added in post. Because it was one of those things where a lot of people criticized the movie, I guess, in, like, earlier renditions or whatever. Because
like the first screenings.
They made it seem as though Canada didn't do anything and they were just, like, numbskulls.
Yeah.
And so I think they added a couple of the things at the end, like this couldn't have been done without the cooperation of the U.S. government with the Canadian government, things like that. I think they added so that it seemed less kind of like, haha, Canada, you're retards, and the CIA does everything.
Yeah, I just think there could have been a little bit more. They could have tied up those loose ends a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess it's as far as that goes, I don't know. It seems like a tough way to end a movie in general, because you just the ending or the end of the mission is so exciting.
Yeah.
And you're already taking a big breather, like, I'm done. Like, it was exhausting to watch.
Yeah.
And then you have kind of like a trickle.
It's almost
to the end.
It's almost like a made for TV movie ending. Like just the very last part, the way it's kind of all.
Yeah. I'd say the biggest problem about it was the trip to his wife. Like, can I come in?
Yeah.
And it's like, we've never seen your wife in the whole movie at all. And I get that you want to say that she's not there at all and that you guys are so separated. But when she just looks at him and brings him into the house again, it's like, okay, they had that in We Were Soldiers, too. You know? It was one of those things. But Jeremy said that he liked the second half better than the first half.
Hmm. Okay.
And I don't see that. Well, yeah, and I guess it's because it's more exciting, but I didn't think the balance was that much different.
Yeah.
But pacing was pretty solid, I would say.
Yeah.
Especially the last 30 minutes of the operation, not necessarily the last 30 minutes of the movie. I was wondering how much of that is actually hammed up to build up the tension and the suspense.
Probably a decent amount. I doubt.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah. But it seemed like everything was, like, going wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, not one thing went right.
That's true.
Which was the only thing.
It was a nail biter at the end.
You know, the fact that they are just waiting, the producers are waiting to get to their production office.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, one of those things, at least one of those things could have just been okay right from the get-go.
Yeah.
And then I think it would have taken me out of the experience, like, okay, it's not just, like, a total shit show.
Yeah.
And I still think it seemed like it was a shit show, no matter how much Hollywood kind of like ups the suspense. I think it doesn't seem that ideal.
The police chasing them, the police chasing the plane. That was a little silly.
Yeah, but you have to hand it to me. I mean, when I watched that, I was kind of
intrigued. Mean, yeah, you're totally. It pulls you in. It, like in your head, like you're just like pulled in totally.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you're like, it's a little silly, but whatever. It's still fun.
Yeah, right. I think the original actual circumstances were they got delayed.
Oh, okay.
For mechanical. So they were there sitting on the tarmac.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
But, I mean, you don't want to put that in a movie, do you?
No.
And we'll be sitting here for 45 minutes later. Yeah. But, I think all that is fairly nitpicky considering how good the movie is and how much we like it.
Yeah.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, Sam, why would you give it such a number and why would you recommend it to people listening?
I would probably give this a strong 8 to a light 9, kind of in between those two.
Hmm.
Just because I thought it did a really good job of handling kind of dense subject material. Like, it's fun. Like, the part with the adventure and the Argo stuff, that's fun.
Yeah.
But just kind of making you care about something that happened, like, 30 years ago. I thought it did a really good job at handling that. And I would probably recommend this probably to anyone, just because he handled it in a really, like, it wasn't pretentious. It wasn't like you have to be super smart to get this. It was just kind of like, hey, check it out. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, you know, scary. You're going to get engrossed into it. So, yeah, I would probably recommend this to most of our listeners, hopefully. And it's out in theaters only right now. So I guess you should go see it in theaters. It'll probably be running for a while, too, just because I know Warner Brothers likes to keep their movies running when they do really, really well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sure. Mr. A, what did you think about it?
Well, again, I think this is a really well put together movie. And as Sam said, I think anybody could go to this movie, not even knowing a lot about, you know, what happened really. Yeah. And they'll be able to understand it and they'll enjoy it because of just the shades of the dramatic and the comedy aspects that come into it. And I think I just think it does a really good job of telling an already incredible story.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm going to give this a strong 8.5.
Yeah.
That's great. This is the question I was going to ask you. You think if people really like The Town, people will definitely like Argo?
I think so, because The Town has a lot of, it tells a really compelling story. The characters are people that you can identify with, and it's made really well. Both films are made really well.
Okay.
And so I think, if you'd seen The Town, you'd go to Argo and probably like it.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Very cool. I'm going to join up with Mr. A and give this an 8.5.
Okay.
For sure. I thought it was overall very well done. I did like kind of like the overall tone of the movie.
Yeah.
I really like this kind of, I don't know, last time I saw a movie this intense was Tinker Tailor, in theaters. And
which is an amazing movie.
I really like that movie a lot, too. Yeah.
But I would say Tinker Tailor is a lot more cerebral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's slower, too.
Yeah, oh, my God. It's so much slower. And I think half the movie theater hated it after we left.
Well.
I think everyone that was expecting like an Argo-type movie and got Tinker Tailor, they were just kind of bummed out.
Yeah, because, Argo is much more entertaining in the sense that there's a lot more action.
There's a lot more action. Right. It's not as serious where, in Tinker Tailor, you're dealing with British people with no humor at all.
Yeah.
But
if it's got Colin Firth in it, it's probably going to be humorless.
So I really thought this movie was great. The first scene, it draws you in right from the get-go.
Yeah.
It really does. And they're not going to cut. It's not going to be something where you're waiting for something to start like 15 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
You're just like, here's the problem, and then here we go from there, which probably I thought was a really good job.
It's one of the fastest movies we've reviewed, probably.
In a long time. I thought the pacing was pretty well done.
And it's kind of a longer film. It's 2 hours long.
It's 2 hours, yeah.
And it doesn't feel like that when you sit and watch it.
Especially in the last, when the mission starts and gets going.
The last, like, 30 or 40 minutes is just like, boom, boom, boom,
I know. I really enjoyed it, and I think a lot of the people that are listening would enjoy it, too, so I would recommend it with the fellas along here. Yeah, go for it.
Definitely, go for it.
Well, thank you again, Mr. A, for dropping by.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys.
All right.
Well, thanks again to all of our listeners. We really appreciate your questions and comments, and tell us what you thought about Argo, if you liked it or if you didn't think it was so hot.
If you didn't think it was so hot, you're fucking wrong.
Andy laying down the hammer.
Yeah.
What, you don't like Ben Affleck? Is Julie still haunting your dreams? Jesus. Get over it. No. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye.
Bye.